Okay, we are now joined by the 2025 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, and that is Jesse Love. We'll get right to questions for Jesse. If you have one, please raise your hand. We'll start up here to the Jonathan, go to Israel, and then we'll come over here.
Jonathan Field, the race experts. First of all, how do the tacos taste?
It's actually really good. I'm pretty picky, and I didn't put any toppings on it because I wasn't looking at it when I got them. But they're really good. Yeah, they did a good job.
Nice. You know, I got to ask you, when you popped out of the car there, it showed a lot of emotion. I know you thanked your dad. You thanked Scott Speed. What were some different things that were also kind of just going through your mind just in the final laps? And just since, you know, you've walked around, done the different things, and come here.
Yeah, I last few laps, kind of thought if I was in that position going into it, I'd probably be emotional. There's probably a couple of drivers that would probably cry like the last couple laps. Remember, like Chase Briscoe, Southern 500, he was going over that, and he was saying, you know, he was crying the last few laps. I think it was, or maybe it was like Denny too, but. I don't know. For me, I was just like, I knew a caution was going to come out. So I didn't have like any emotion. I was just honestly thinking the whole last few laps, not to put a lap car in like a bad position where they get frazzled. But more importantly, when the caution comes out, what I was going to do to get a better restart. Cause I didn't win from the front row all night. So, that was what I was focused on more than anything. And then we cross start finish line. Takes a while for my brain to shut off. I was just still focused on a restart, so it was kind of a crazy feeling, really.
We'll go to Holly next.
So tonight you really had to – sorry, Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service, but early in the race you were frustrated, I would argue, or with how it started. Could you just talk a little bit about kind of your own mental state to keep things cool, chill, and to be able to rally and do what you did at the end?
Yeah, we were really bad the first stage. I think we fell all the way back to 12th, if you can believe it. Just had no drive, back was out of the racetrack. I didn't have the feel I needed. We obviously came here with a package that was supposed to be best at night when the lights turn on, and obviously that showed. But yeah, I just had my hands full, and all it was, we made, I think, two rounds down the track bar, and we kind of worked some of it back up throughout the night. So, we just had a really bad first stage. Not sure why. I think the real reason was I got trapped up top, and I was racing the 7 really hard, and then the 19 really hard, and I was probably up top for like the first 20 laps of the race, and there's no rubber up there per se. When you fire off in the race, and you're the only car up there, so I just probably damn near quartered both right side tires, and that was probably the main reason why we struggled on the back half of the run. Oh, I definitely was like nervous, because obviously at that point in the race, the 7 was like pretty lights out. 88 drove all the way away from me, and we were, I mean, getting passed by people we weren't even in the same zip code of in practice. So yeah, it was definitely for me, I just knew we had to make a big swing at it. But it was also like sometimes when you're loose off, it's because you're tight in the center. So it's about figuring out like what is the actual like symptom you have to, you know, treat. And I just want my gut that I need more drive and need to be tightened up. And it worked out.
It is real.
Hello, Jesse, over here. First of all, congratulations on your championship. Your championship has a lot of angles, but I want to focus on one in particular. I spoke to your mom in Spanish. We made an interview. You're technically the second NASCAR champion with Mexican blood. What does this mean to you in terms of achieving that
goal? Everybody's like, following? What? Everybody's so confused. it feels great. For those that don't know, my mom was born and raised in Mexico City. And lived there all the way until college. And yeah, I guess it is fitting that I'm eating tacos, right? But no, it is really cool. That's why it was super cool to go to Mexico this year and race. Hopefully we go back after next year. But yeah, that's definitely special, mostly for I know how it makes my mom feel, how proud she is of that. My godmother, born and raised in Mexico as well. So again, 90% of the things I eat are Mexican. Whenever my mom is in the car with me, it's always like mañana and Mexican songs. So it is cool to, carry two flags, I guess I could say.
Yeah, she talked about hard work, sacrifices, and you being working hard for a lot of long time. So it's special and meaningful to you, right?
Yeah, well, she's worked really hard too, and she's sacrificed even probably more than I have. So, my mom and my sister have both given up a lot for me to have the opportunity to race at this level. So I appreciate that she says that, but, she also deserves a lot of credit as well, and so does my dad.
Come up here to Zach.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Jesse, congratulations. Building off of that a little bit, you talked about your mom's role, your dad's role. What role did he play in helping you get to this point in your life?
Well, the only person that's been with me through like every day of my life, and especially in the racing realm, is my dad, right? I've had a lot of great people in my life along the way that have been there for parts of it, but only one guy has been there for all of it, and that's my dad. So I know how much he's sacrificed, how much he's had to dig deep to, help me and get me going. And I've, can talk about it for, a really long time, but I don't know, for me as an athlete, as a driver, it's sometimes you feel like the only way you can really say thank you is to, win. Not very good with probably appreciation sometimes. So, it's just a phenomenal feeling and a feeling of relief more than anything.
And also, how has your relationship with Danny Stockman evolved since you first got into the RCR shop? And what is it like today to have?
Was he tuned up in here when he was in here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's going to be a liability tonight. man, Danny's like a brother to me. I feel like we're friends first and then crew chief driver second, which I've only had a couple times in my life. But yeah, Danny's great, man. He's he has the grit and the tenacity are his two biggest traits, and he expects a lot out of me, sometimes more than I can, give him from time to time. So yeah, Danny's pushed me to be a lot better. We've had really hard conversations and yelled and screamed and cussed and this and that and the other thing and said things and told each other things when, we both didn't want to hear it, but we knew we both need to say it. So it's been a great relationship with him. He calls me like his kid. I feel like he's my brother. But it, when you're really close to somebody, you want to perform, for them. You want to win for them too. I feel like that's a lot of my motivation every day, is to get Danny Stockman another championship. It's my family. It's my sponsors. It's my crew. My pit crew. All the people in Welcome. I never really think about myself on why I want to succeed. I wouldn't have much motivation if I was, kind of just focused on myself.
Come up here to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Does it matter that you won this race kind of straight up versus, like a pit call or something crazy at the end?
Yeah, it definitely does. To do it like on speed, right? We didn't just like run six and then get a crazy, pit road or pit call and then, go six the first and the last lap, right? So that definitely makes it feel more rewarding. But at the same time, it wouldn't really change a whole lot, right? I don't think. But I'm not in that situation, so I don't really know. But I think for the whole team, it's really gratifying. That was the most dominant car we've probably brought all year, with the exception of maybe Rockingham. So that's also a really good feeling.
Will you stay off social media to see to avoid any reaction of people saying whether you should have won this title or not?
Well, I really don't give a shit what people think. I get a big old trophy. I get a nice check. I get a lot of things that come out of this. So I don't know. I was wondering who was going to be the first person to bring it up. I'm sure somebody's going to say it more bluntly than you. But at the same time, I'm not like somebody that like devalues like what the fans say either, which I kind of sound contradicting now, but like when I say stuff and people like call me out on Twitter or something, like I do like actually listen. So their opinions are valid. Obviously the world would be kind of a boring place if we all agreed on everything. And that's never going to happen. So I'm going to look at it. I don't really care at the end of the day. But I still like to be a part of, I guess, the circle of life and, like, see how people react to certain things. And I have my thoughts on it, and they're going to have theirs, and that doesn't bother me at all.
And I have one more. Do you have to balance at all trying to compare yourself to Connor versus comparing yourself to your own performance?
It's a great question. It's been really hard this year, right? At the end of the day, I want to walk in the room and feel like the man, right? And I did, right? And for quite a while, like once I had like my breakout ARCA season, I was like the hottest thing for the most part, with the exception of probably Corey. And then Connor kind of took that away from me. And it's been really tough, right? Hard to deal with that. Just the way that your friends look at you, the way that the fans look at you, it's all tough. And it was a hard pill for me to swallow. But I knew at the end of the day, I sat down one day and I was like, well, I can't control, you know, what Connor does, right? But I can control what I do. And every day I woke up and he's motivated me to be better, right? Because I don't like losing to him. And I've woke up every day trying to beat him probably more than myself. So as much as, you know, tonight, you know, makes me feel, you know, really good, I'm not going to have Connor to compare myself to next year. So I'm going to have to change that mindset pretty quick.
We'll go next to Noah on the right, on the left.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. Jesse, it's funny, first off, that it's kind of like deja vu right now looking at you up there on the stage. Ironically enough, Mike Ford moderating your championship-winning press conference just a few years ago as an ARCA champion, and now you sit here as an Xfinity Series champion. Kid that sat at that same spot have guessed that just a few years later you'd be sitting here again, Xfinity Series champion?
I can tell you that kid then with all that confidence was definitely a believer. There's been versions of myself after that that didn't see that this happening. I guess now it's starting to sink in. But yeah, I just had to... push through like those hard times, right? And just wake up every day and refuse to let that shitty voice in your head tell you you're not gonna get up here, and just get your head down to work and outrun the pack.
Well, I apologize. I think it's like the second time I put you to tears on the desk. But
it's your beautiful looks,
right? I know. Thank you. On a lighter note, just how much fun can you have with this, with Connor? You know, once the dust settles, you guys with your friendship, it's been a cool thing to follow for fans on social media. He wins so much this year. You come with the championship. Very cool thing for your friendship, I'm assuming.
It is. If Brent wouldn't have blown transmission in the truck race, I feel like our friend group would have been 4-for-4 this weekend. You know, we got a great friend group back home between, you know, me and Brent and Connor and the Baldwin brothers and TJ DeCare, and I'm missing a couple, but some really good friends back home. But especially, you know, in our group chat, the three amigos, me, Brent, and Connor, have always expected the most out of each other. And been really hard on each other at times and always been there for each other. But we've cultivated a really good culture between the three of us. And I'm really, really happy for Brent to start to turn the corner. he had a tough summer, and he kept his head down, and he kept digging, and now he's starting to really, you know, look really good. So, yeah, it's definitely great. We're definitely going to celebrate. I'm not sure how Connor's going to react to all this. He came to me in Victory Lane because he's a great person, but I don't know, again, how he's going to react to tonight, and I'm not going to fault him in any way, however he decides to react, but yeah, we'll see. Obviously, I'm going to be happy about it because I pulled the long end of the stick or the wishbone. But, you know, we'll see.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
We'll stay on the left-hand side there. Yep.
Cameron Caraway for the Cam's Eye View. First of all, congratulations, Jesse, on the championship. And from my perspective, it looked like, as I think when the track was changing and started to get more towards the night, it just looked like you were able to drive it in so much more deeper through 3 and 4 and the energy of the corner than everyone else. So is what gave you that confidence? Was it just you self-adjusting to how the track felt and how the car was feeling? Has anything on the radio?
Yeah, it's cool. You can see that visually, right? Because sometimes you have to have like SMT to really tell. But for me, like, again, there's certain parts of the race where things are going to work and some things aren't. And I had a sense of urgency the whole race for sure. So when the 7 started to drive away a little bit, I was like, well, I'm going to start moving things around. I'm going to start doing things different. I'm going to go start trying to go faster in certain areas. So we'll start with the entry, right? So I started bonsaiing the thing off in there, taking shape out of my entries and just trying to see if I can, you know, win 3 on entry and only lose 2 out, right? And that was kind of the case in 3 and 4. And then the last run of the race, it was the opposite where I couldn't make that speed anymore. So now I had to back it up and kind of go a whole different mindset. But it's all about being adaptable and being able to move those things around and be dynamic with the racetrack, with your car. And, you know, that's something that I've, you know, worked really hard on this year, to be able to move speeds around, move techniques around. Again, that's where, you know, Scott speed comes in for me. We've worked every day of the week from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. on that right there, so that when I came into that, you know, moment today, I knew exactly what to do and where to look for more.
All right, we have time for 3 more. We're going to go to Cole, Dustin, and then wrap up with Andrew. Raise your hand, Cole.
Cole Cusimano with the Arizona Republic and Speed Freaks. Congrats, Jesse. On top of the speed, your pit crew was insane tonight. Final pit stop of the night, out first. I believe the broadcast said the first stop of the final stage, fastest stop of the season for a 4-tower stop. Just what can you say about their performance? That's what they said, I believe.
You know what time it was? No?
No, I don't have it on hand.
It's okay.
But all that said, what can you say about their performance, and do you have anything planned for them as far as like a gift or something to cap this season off in championship?
Yeah, I think I know what they want. I'll keep it to myself for now. But yeah, they were just stupid good. I mean, like the first stop, we came in 6 and came out in the lead. And I was like, oh my God. Those guys just perform when the lights are the brightest. They thrive on it. It's the culture they've built. Ray Wright has built with all those guys, the camaraderie. And man, they've done a phenomenal job. So had some trouble with some pit crew stuff. For example, right now, Raider, my fuel guy, is getting surgery on his labrum. So we had Doug step in this week. And just goes to show how good our pit department is, RCR, how underrated they probably are at times, where we can pull somebody like Doug, put him in, and still bang him out. We got a new guy, too. Our Jackman Derby, I don't even know if he was really on like a good cup car or good Xfinity car ever, and he stepped in a couple races ago, and we've been lights out with him as well. So, yeah, hats off to Ray Wright and everybody at, you know, the RCR pit department, and most importantly my guys who stepped up. And I try to, you know, get really close with them over the last 2 years, and they're just amazing. I'm sure they're being very responsible right now.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Lobino, Jayski, congrats, Jesse. A lot of times when a driver wins the Xfinity Championship, they have an opportunity to go to the Cup level, and I know you want to get there. But with coming back next year, returning to RCR, like, how do you want to represent this series?
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't really thought about that, but I'm the champion now, right? So I'm going to try my best to do it like Justin has. Justin Allgaier is, like, such a phenomenal person, and he can compartmentalize it really well, where he can go be the hardest competitor on the racetrack and still get out of the car and be a phenomenal human being first. So I'd say I'm just going to try to be like Justin next year and represent the series like how he has. I learned a lot from him, and he's an amazing person, and I actually, like, you know, lean on him a lot more than people probably realize too. Even how to navigate the championship stuff this year. He's just a great person. So that's who's kind of going to be my probably example of who I want to be like next year.
And I'll wrap it up.
Except go back to back.
Andrew Hazlett, Blaze Radio. When Brent was in here, he talked about how you've helped him with the truck stuff, and then he's also talked about how you've helped him, or he's helped you at times. Can you just speak on that relationship?
Yeah. I guess it is always like me and Connor, right? Because he's at this level and he's a superstar. You know, I look at it, you know, Connor's my best friend, but Brent's like my brother, right? I'd do anything for him. I'd give my life for the kid, and he means the world to me. More of like almost like a son does. So, yeah, Brent's just an amazing kid with an amazing family. And, you know, as crazy as it sounds, like, there's a lot of times where I'm going to him and asking him for help, especially on the road course stuff. He is a very talented road racer, and I thought the oval stuff was going to be tricky. But I thought that way about Connor too, and look at him now. And Brent's been the same way. I mean, I think Brent was the truck to beat last night. He almost won Martinsville and was probably the truck to beat there. Like, he's on a string of three races where he's almost dominated in the truck level. So, yeah, he's really talented, and it's really easy for him right now to get overshadowed by me and Connor because he's younger than we are and probably more quiet and reserved. But he has all the ability in the world to do exactly what we're doing, if not even better.
All right, Jesse, well, congratulations, and get that speech ready.